Last case morning, Maleski v. Holder.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Jesus Ruiz Velasco for the petitioner, Mr. Joseph Maleski. And the issue today with this petition is we are contending that the BIA erred as a matter of law by affirming the immigration judge's improper pretermittence of the petitioner's application for a waiver under Section 8 U.S.C. Section 1182H. A little bit of the facts of the case. The respondent or the petitioner has been in the country for almost 50 years as a lawful permanent resident. He does have an extensive criminal record and was previously granted a waiver by the immigration court back in 1990. He was placed in proceedings once again recently and applied to basically readjust his status to a lawful permanent resident with a waiver for the inadmissibility that arose out of the criminal conduct. The problem or the crux of the issue here is that the immigration judge did not consider the waiver of the inadmissibility. He concluded that the petitioner was not did not merit the granting of an adjustment of status because of his criminal background. We contend that that was a mistake by both the immigration judge and by the Board of Immigration Appeals by affirming because the waiver was not looked upon. The whole purpose or the congressional intent of waivers is to forgive people when they merit such waivers so that they can seek whatever relief they are asking for.
What rule of law, what authority did the IJ disregard here that required him to provide this decision on eligibility for waiver?
Well, the USC states that an immigrant cannot adjust status unless he meets certain criteria.
Right.
The petitioner did not meet that criteria without having that waiver adjudicated and approved.
But you know what the government's position here is. Why worry about this problem when we give, if we assume eligibility, he still loses when we exercise discretion? What's wrong with that? What regulation or statute or authoritative court decision was disregarded?
Well, that form of reasoning goes against the whole purpose of a waiver.
Could you be more specific? I understand your point, but you seem to be asking us to say that the IJ is required to render, in essence, an advisory opinion when he's going to deny relief on other grounds anyway.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is that gives the IJ and the BIA the authority to arbitrarily deny cases without applying the law. By saying we don't have to look at this waiver because I'm going to deny it anyway, well, that defeats the purpose of any waiver. For example, there's waivers against unlawful presence. Now, if the fact that the person was unlawfully present is used to deny such a waiver, then that defeats the entire purpose of having such waivers.
But here the immigration judge assumed, in essence, looked at all the discretionary factors, including ones your client may not have been entitled to, like benefit, where he looked at hardship to himself and to family members and so on. We have all the time. Trial courts will skip over a hard problem and decide a case on the basis of an easy one. What's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is that pursuant to not just the statute, but also the case law from the Board of Immigration Appeals,
Please do.
The immigration judge is not supposed to even review the adjustment of status if the person is not they can't make a determination on the adjustment of status issue unless they are statutorily eligible for the adjustment of status.
The thing is, even if you have a waiver, you're not off scot-free. You know, in other words, waiver is just the first step. So once you get the waiver, it's a hardship. You still have to face the IJ on the other issue. And the IJ skipped the waiver issue and got to the issue. So it's not like you get waiver, you scot-free, you get to stay. The IJ still has to determine whether or not he should receive an adjustment of status. And the IJ didn't do the waiver here, but he got to the heart of the question, the adjustment of status.
Correct. And
denied. So, it's, you know, what's the harm?
Well, the harm is that the... I agree that the waiver is not a guarantee of the granting of whatever relief is being sought. However, an analysis of the waiver will get the person to whatever relief is being sought. And
we'll get them to the adjustment part.
Exactly. And furthermore, we're contending that the immigration judge applied the incorrect legal standard to review the adjustment of status, which further complicated the petitioner's case by the judge not applying the correct legal standard in adjudicating the relief that was being sought.
What did he do that was wrong?
He applied the standard that is generally applied for waivers to the adjustment of status. So the Board of Immigration Appeals has relied on a matter of Mendez to adjudicate or to find the factors that need to be weighed when applying for a waiver of inadmissibility, such as the case here.
But the IJ here explicitly recognized the different standards, noting in footnote 4 that a waiver request involves a separate determination as to whether the alien has shown extreme hardship to his qualifying relatives. So it appears that he used the right standard.
For an adjustment of status applicant, the actual hardship to the respondent or the petitioner himself is also supposed to be taken into consideration. And I'm not saying the judge did not take the petitioner's hardship into consideration, but even though he did put that footnote in his decision, he applied, and the BIA as well applied the case for matter of Mendez to adjudicate the adjustment of status. And that is a case that was specifically for waivers of inadmissibility, or actually it was a 212C waiver, which is the same type of relief that will allow somebody else to seek relief after the whatever burden or obstacle is impending to allow them to seek the relief sought. So not only did the immigration judge and later the Board of Immigration Appeals pretermit this waiver, and again, I'm not suggesting that if a waiver is approved, they should automatically be granted whatever relief they're seeking, but the fact that it was not even touched upon, it wasn't adjudicated, is problematic. It completely contradicts the congressional intent. Why even have waivers if they're not going to be looked upon because of other reasons? Why have a waiver for inadmissibility or unlawful presence if...
Well, we're not saying that the waiver isn't the first step. We're just saying he skipped the first step. He got to the second step, which is what your client wanted. And so we're asking, what's the harm? Why do we need to send it back since he got the review on his adjustment of status?
Well, it has been in case law, it is stated that it is not prudent to cross. They're supposed to avoid applying different standards for different reliefs. There's specific standards for whatever relief is being sought. In this case, the judge applied a relief for a waiver on an adjustment of status. It is possible that if the judge had adjudicated the waiver more, it would have carried a little more weight when the adjustment of status was going to be adjudicated to the petitioner's or his equities. We feel that the fact that the waiver was pretermitted, thereby it cut off a lot of the factors that would have also been taken into consideration for his for the discretionary factors of the adjustment of status.
Mr. Ruiz, the government cited our decision in Patel against INS as a case in which we said this was basically perfectly okay. Any response?
Well, there's also case law saying that disregarding an application simply because there's a belief that it will be futile in light of the adverse factors is not the correct analysis in the matter of Figueroa Matos. The IJ, the Board of Immigration Appeals, stated that an immigration judge should not disregard a waiver application simply because he believes that reviewing it will be futile.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Christopher McDonald on behalf of the U.S. Attorney General. This is an appeal by an alien who already had his second chance. In 1990, he was granted a criminal waiver from deportation. And 10 months later to the day, he's convicted of theft. It happened again in 1994, in 1995, and then finally in 2007, to the point where he wound up right back where he started in immigration proceedings. And he asked the agency for a third chance, this time in the form of adjustment of status with yet another criminal waiver. And the agency, in the exercise of discretion, said no. Here on appeal, petitioner is aware of the court's jurisdictional limitations, and he doesn't bring an abuse of discretion argument. He brings the two discrete, ultimately incorrect legal arguments. The first one, this idea that even though what's at stake is ultimately discretionary, the agency is still required to mechanically make advisory rulings on eligibility questions, is simply incorrect. Your honors have already noted Patel versus INS, and there's even the Supreme Court case INS versus Pagamasbad. I would like to briefly point out, or at least address, petitioner's sort of doomsday scenario where if the agency doesn't have to address a waiver, then what is the point of having a waiver at all? The court in Patel versus INS addressed that very contention and stated that we have confidence that if we see the agency hiding behind its discretion, we'll know it. And that simply isn't the case here. The immigration judge issued a 17-page oral decision on this matter. The Board of Immigration Appeals supplemented that with yet another 4 pages. It was not hiding behind its discretion. And another point on this statutory eligibility question is that I would just like to remind Your Honors that a criminal waiver is a facet of statutory eligibility. It just cures the problem that if you're not admissible for adjustment of status purposes, you can get around it. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to discretion, and that puts us right back in the territory of Patel versus INS, or INS versus Pagamasbad, the Supreme Court case. So there really is no need to issue advisory opinions on this criminal waiver issue. The second legal argument that petitioner brings is this idea that the agency applied the wrong discretionary standard. He's incorrect about that because the standards are a bit more fluid than rigid. But it really begs the question, because at the end of the day, even if the agency was to do exactly what petitioner is proposing here, it wouldn't change anything. That is to say, if this case was sent back so the agency could do a full-fledged analysis on the 1182H waiver, it comes down to discretion, because that waiver itself is discretionary. And petitioner concedes that the proper discretionary standard for that waiver is matter of Mendez. And that's what the agency did. So the agency will essentially reissue the same exact decision, only the legal conclusion will now be the 1182H waiver is denied in the matter of discretion and adjustment of status is denied because he is inadmissible. So remand wouldn't accomplish anything in this case, even assuming there was an error. And this court follows the law of futility. Those are really the points I wanted to address. If your honors don't have any questions for me, I'm happy to submit and simply request that the court deny the petition for review.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess till tomorrow.